Well, here we are in the Memorial of Blowing the Trumpets. Memorial of Blowing the Trumpets. Here we are. Let me lower this. Okay, put it about right there. Let me just double check something.
It's the right size.
It's the right size? Okay.
Looks like it.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I take that back.
She's taking it back. Let me check.
Maybe not.
Oh, it's the wrong size.
Yeah, I took it back.
Okay, she took it back. Let me stop this. And we'll start the video again in a second. It's just computer stuff. Okay, let's, oops.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's okay. I hear Sister Louise singing there. It's not doing it.
But why?
I don't know.
I think it's just...
There you go. Okay, let's start that before something else happens. Do you want to... I want to continue. Okay, let's blow the trumpet on the...
You're not on the mic.
Oh, let me get on the mic.
Did you start the audio already?
Okay, let's start that, and we'll put the, shrink that. I want to welcome everyone today, and let me put this up, if I can get it to come up. There you go. Okay, the Trumpeteer Sisters. You heard of the Three Musketeers? We got the Three Trumpeteers. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chal BaMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And today's the Sabbath, and it's the memorial of blowing the trumpets. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, first we come to you as kings and priests, ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. I pray that you'll touch everyone here, strengthen everyone, and increase our faith today. Help us, Lord and God, prepare for one day your coming, if it happens in our lifetime. And if not, Father, we're still going to serve you. May God bless everyone on the internet, bless everyone here. May God touch you and take away anything that's corrupt out of your mind, heart, and soul, and fill us only with the truth, Lord and God. Bless this day. Heal us all in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, here we are. Is this our first time on Maple Street doing the memorial blowing the trumpets?
No.
Oh, second time? Maybe second time. Here we are in Hohenwald, Tennessee, Hohenwald for my German friend here. Hohenwald, Tennessee. I don't know how to say Tennessee in German. There's my email and there's my website. Let's see. Today, right now, it's the 22nd, just like right on time. Last night we started, of course, on the evening, 2017 in the 21st century. And I'm saying that for Ethan's sake because he might be around in the 22nd century. He might be a little old, but he might be around. Today is the, the 22nd. God has his own calendar. We're in Ha'ethanim, the first day. This is the daytime hours. And here we are. It's not Tishri. It's not New Year. It's the seventh month, which I was thinking about that last night. I don't know if in my sleep or where I was thinking about it. It says the seventh month so many times, and they still think it's New Year. I still can't figure that out. And that's 1 Kings 8:2. We all know that here. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up topics and subjects maybe you're not accustomed to hearing in a congregation. My website is running very well back there. I updated all the hardware and the software, and it's running really strong over there. It even lit up blue. I put another fan in there. It looks nice. I wave at it once in a while and say, you better keep running. But anyway, you could read my subjects. You could listen to them. You could watch them. You could download them to MP3 players. Let's see. We're running, I believe we're streaming live right now. We're also on Pal Talk in the chat room. There's the URL you must put in your real player right there, that whole line. And I haven't received any invitations to the talk about the Hebrew roots of your faith. I did have a dentist doctor that was wanting to do it, but I don't know what happened to him. He sort of, who knows what happened to him. Maybe he'll come around. Anyway, I just want to go over the holy days that are left and also the feast that's coming up. Well, today is Friday. Today is the memorial of blowing the trumpets. Obviously, we're still here, so we did not hear the trumpet blow out there and the return of the Lord. So here we're still here rehearsing it, and it's a rehearsal. Then we have, of course, a few days from now, which will be October 1st, 10 days from now, I guess, is Ha'etanim 10, which is the Day of Atonement. There it is. And you better be atoned on that day. And of course, we'd like to be atoned every day, because we never know when we're going to meet God. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles 5 days later, which is on October 13th. Remember, everything starts the evening before. And we have a lot of Sabbath. We have three more extra Sabbaths. So, and then we have the eighth day, Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days. And then we have the eighth day, which is the great day, a solemn assembly. And that's a Sabbath, of course. And that's the eighth day. And it's the 22nd of Ha'etanim. Well, you should know what today's topic should be. It's a memorial blowing trumpets, you know. I was looking up that word this morning. It says Yom Teruah. And the word Teruah really means the sounding blast. There's a different word for trumpets in the Bible. But the word Teruah is really the sounding blast, you know, an alarm. And that's what we're talking about. Hatzorot is the trumpets, by the way. I just remembered. Remember, when you talk to people, now's a perfect time to discuss, if you meet any Jewish people, just tell them, it's not New Year, it's the seventh month. Look in your Bible, tell them. Look in your Hebrew Bible. Matter of fact, saying it's the New Year and Tishrei, that's adding to the word. And it's really a scary thing, because we're commanded not to do this. Deuteronomy 4 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yehovah your God, which I command you. That's Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 12:32 says the same thing. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And I don't know how people are adding the word Tishrei. That's adding to the word. And calling it New Year's, that's adding to the word. That's a lie. And I got that from Proverbs 30. It says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. So adding to the word is a liar, and God doesn't want you to do that. So anyway, as you probably know by now, the word Etanim has been deleted from the world, Ha'etanim, even though it's in the Bible. I don't know if any Christian even knows that. Pseudo-Christian, I should say. I don't think so. Most, if you go on the website, it shows you here is Tishrei. I think even the Karaites call it Tishrei. But the Gregorian calendar has got everyone confused with September/October. And today, I believe, yesterday was the first day of fall. Doesn't it feel like fall out there? No.
Not that it looks like it.
It's starting to look like it, but it's a little hot. But Messianics, you know, are a big mess. So here's what's missing. There it is. God calls it Ha'etanim. And that's the Aleph and the Beth, which I'll explain to you in a moment. Ha-Aleph and the Aleph and the Teth and the Neem, which is important, which is Etan in Hebrew. The Tov. God is the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. And we read that so many places in the Bible, like Isaiah 41:4, It says, who had wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, Yehovah, the first, and with the last, I am he. And I love that saying where it says, I am he, because Yeshua uses those the same phraseology in the gospel. He always says, I am he. He is he. He's the one in the Tanakh. I am he. And there's Isaiah 44:6, thus saith Yehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Notice how it sounds like a plurality. Yehovah of hosts, Tzavaoth, I am the first, I am, and I am the last. Beside me, there's no God. So that gives me the impression that God must have scanned his domain, and there just isn't another God. Because I remember a discussion in Judaism. The rabbis were saying, you know, that we're Echad is sort of a compound unity, and that opens the door for one God, but there might be another. And I said, no, there's one God. One God. Judaism has so many nonsensical conversations, which they think is intellectualism, but it's really foolishness, and it's very silly. Israel, Isaiah 48:12 says, hearken unto me, O Jacob, Yaakov, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. I love that. And of course, you go all the way to the end of our scripture where it says, Revelation says, behold, he comes with clouds. So that right there tells you he's not in the secret chambers. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the millennial reign, which is made up. He's not in the whatever you think he is. He's coming with clouds, and every eye is going to see him. Oh, it gives me the impression right there he might be coming back as the universe, because everywhere you are, you're going to see him. And they also, which pierced him, which is going to be very sad. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They really will, too, once they realize they didn't repent. Even so, amen. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, or the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending, Shon or Acharon, saith Yehovah, which is and which was and which is to come. So this shows you that it is the Messiah, because he is and was, you know, which was and which is to come. This is the Word of God talking. He's the Almighty, El Shaddai. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And there's one God, even though it sounds like there's two, but there's one. John says he was in the Spirit on Jehovah's Day. What day is that? Sabbath. Because it says that right in the commandments. I was in the Spirit on Jehovah's Day and heard behind me a great sound of a trumpet. Whoa. And there's that teruah saying, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 2 says the same thing. Unto the church, angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These things say at the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And Yeshua is the only one that, he's the only one that ever conquered death and hell. He's the only one that ever got out. The only one that ever rose from the dead, you know, with a new body. No one else has a new body at this point. Revelation 22:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And, you know, you could say the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. You could say the Aleph and the Tav, which is the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You could say the A and the Z, which is the first and last letter of the English alphabet. And all the other alphabets, he's the first and the last. That reminds me of, like, you know, wherever that, he's just everything. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Wow. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So if you keep his commandments, you have that promise. Because that's where New Jerusalem is, right? And that's where the tree of life is, and that's where the gates of this, what city? That's the city, New Jerusalem. Anyway, there it is right there. Ha-Ethanim, there's the Aleph and the Tav there. And that's Ha-Ethanim means the enduring perennial brooks, the water, living waters. And there's Ha, which is the definite article, means the. Sometimes it's but, you know, for this purpose, it's the. And then we have the Aleph, which is the first letter, and the Tav, which is the last letter. And then we have the Neem, which is the perennial brooks. And that comes from, well, I'll show you where that comes from. Ha'ethanim, always has the definite article ha, which means the perennial brooks. Et, etanim, enduring seven, and that means enduring. It's the seventh month. Doesn't mean new year. End of September and October. So named because of the perennial streams still flow, water still flow. And there's the Etan, or Etan. Your son's name is Etan? Etan. And there it is. So your son means, his name means the perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing, ever-flowing of stream. Yeah, it's just permanent, enduring water. So are you ready for an enduring, permanent, perpetual fountaining of living waters? And Yeshua says, God says he's the living waters, the Mayim Chaim, and that's found in Jeremiah 2:13. And it's also found in Jeremiah 17:13. So he is the living waters, which we don't know what living waters are at this point. We just hear the words. But one day we'll actually see what living waters are. Most people have never heard Ha'etanim from Scripture. They are brainwashed by Judaism and by the Pope Gregory. It's really amazing that most people don't even know we're using the Gregorian calendar. That one little bit of information, most of the world don't even think about that. I mean, Pope Gregory from the 1500s is still reigning. And what can I say? It's really Ha'etanim. There it is in the Hebrew, and there it is in the English. So, and today's a Sabbath, which most people don't even realize. We have two Sabbaths in a row, because tomorrow's the weekly Sabbath, right? Tonight starts the weekly Sabbath. And they're a Mikra Kodesh. They're a convoking, a reading. It's a calling together, a sacred assembly. It's a public meeting. So if you know of a congregation that's keeping these days, try to join the people of like-minded faith. You know, you can't supposed to sit home and, you know, in your pajamas and get on the net. But if you know of a congregation, put some effort in like you used to do for the pagan holidays. Remember the pagan holidays? You went out of your way to do the Christmases and Halloweens and everything else. So do something for God with a little enthusiasm. And Kodesh means, obviously, you want to be set apart to the God of Israel, sacredness. You know, holy isn't like, there's no holy, you know, we don't have holy hairstyle or holy garments. Holy is an actual lifestyle. You know, where everywhere we go, we portray this set apartness to God of Israel. We don't like to participate in things that are not of God. And of course, we have the Melechet Avodah, which is the serva work, right? We all know what that means in our congregation. It really needs no domestic or public work. That means no work at all, in plain English. And these are the feasts of God. These are the holy days of God, which most of the world has no knowledge of. We all take things for granted here because, you know, we constantly hear these things and we know these things. But as soon as you step away from us, try to go ask anyone. They never ate the name. What's that? Feast of God? Oh, you mean Christmas? No. Think about it. Once you step out of the things that you take for granted because you know these things, the rest of the world, no matter how intelligent they are, they still don't know these things. And these are the feasts of God. And then God goes into the Sabbath right there in Leviticus 23. And this isn't all your dwelling. So this is an important element of the Sabbath or any holy day. You're supposed to be with like-minded people. And it's not, you can't keep any of these days with people that are not like-minded, obviously. Two can't walk together unless they agree, right? Right? So, same thing with the holy days of God. You have to be with people that are of like-minded belief. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations. And we proclaim them in their season. And we don't do the memorial blowing the trumpets in summer, do we?
No.
No, we don't do it when we feel like it or when it's convenient. I suspect there's some messianics don't do two Sabbaths. They probably put everything on the weekly Sabbath, and they just think, I'll just do it all together, you know, for convenience sake, or I call it for satanic sake, because you're really breaking the Sabbath then. So the memorial of blowing the trumpets, Zichron Yom, it says Teruah. Zichron, yeah, Zichor. That means to, the way you remember stuff, I guess it's by speaking about it, you know? When you speak about something, it's easier to remember, and you verbalize it, and it's almost like I do that a lot of times, even when I'm learning things. I talk to myself. I'm not crazy. I talk to myself, and once you verbalize it, it's almost like it becomes part of your belief. And the word teruah is a very interesting word. I was looking up this morning. It literally means the sounding blast, the warning signal, sound, get alert. And of course, it's done by our trumpet. And here's Leviticus 23, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, in the seventh month, it's not New Year, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing the trumpets, a holy convocation. And that says, Deber el b'nei Yisrael lemor, b'chodesh ha-shevi'i, be'echad da'chodesh yehyeh lechem, Shabbaton, Zichron Teruah, Mikra Kodesh. And there it is right there. So, there it is. I speak Hebrew with my New York accent. You shall do no civil work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire. There it is right there. Ishe Le Yehovah. So there it is. Kal Malechet Avodah, all the work you're not supposed to do. Domestically or, you know, publicly. That means no work. I like that. I love that. I love that so much better than no civil work. I never even knew what that meant or never even bothered to look it up. Numbers 29, again, says the seventh month. It's the first day of the month. You have a holy convocation. It's a day of blowing of trumpets unto you. There it is right there. And there's the Hebrew, just to show you that the King James Version is pretty close, you know. You shall offer an offering for a sweet savor unto Yehovah. And this goes into all the offerings they used to do physically, you know, the bullock and the ram and the lambs and without blemish. You had to have a whole herd of animals, and you have to know which ones had no blemish. Imagine that. You can't just... You had to have someone keep track of everything. And the meat offering and the flour mingled with oil and all the measurements, the tent pot for a tent deals for a bullock and tent deals for a ram. And all these things, and you could read all these yourself, and you know, God's very explicit what he wanted them to do. And all the measurements, one tent deal for a lamb throughout the seven lambs. One kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. I like the way he says that. Beside the burnt offering of the month. So every month there's supposed to be an offering. And his meat offering. And the daily burnt offering. And his meat offering. And their drink offering. According unto their manner. For a sweet savor. A sacrifice made by fire unto Yehovah. So these are the things God requires, sacrifices. And of course, now we do the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, the calves of our lips, and to communicate with people, believe it or not, is a sacrifice, because sometimes your flesh doesn't want to do it, and explaining things in detail over and over and over. And there's other sacrifices. But getting back to the trumpet that we want to hear, let's read Exodus 19, because, you know, this memorial, which one are we trying to remember? And what does it contain? You know, what kind of a trumpet? So here we have Exodus 19 in the third month, which is Sivan, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So I always wonder, in that wilderness is such an interesting thing to ponder, you know. I always used to think to myself, in a wilderness, there's probably not a lot of things to tempt you. But then again, you look at the children of Israel, they didn't make it. You know, there's not a lot of things to look at in the wilderness. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come into the desert of Sinai and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, unto Yehovah. Moses went up unto God, and Yehovah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel. It's the same thing. House of Jacob is Israel. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, it really is an honor, actually, reading what God said. This is what God actually said. Now therefore, if you would obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a segula, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. In other words, a particular precious jewel unto God. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. We're a kingdom of priests, believe it or not. We're a holy nation, spiritually and physically. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests. Isn't that amazing? And that means we're supposed to be teaching each other, teaching one another, teaching priests. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which Jehovah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, oh, all that Jehovah had spoken we will do. Of course, we know the end of that story. And Moses returned the words unto the of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, lo, I'm always curious how God comes. He doesn't come in this, like, what we would think as a little cheerful Mardi Gras kind of thing. But he says, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes also. And be ready against the third day, for the third day, which is very important, Jehovah will come down in the sight of all the people, in the sight of all the people. Did you ever think of that? They all saw him come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. I wonder what that looked like. I know one thing, they probably didn't have any words to describe it. I'd probably be sitting in the distance, like melting, you know, fainting. You have to hold me up. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whoso touches the border shall be surely put to death. This is the God we're dealing with. He's not to be toyed with or played around with. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Ugh. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses got a little nervous here. Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. I bet they did. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet, which we can only imagine what that means, because it was a voice blasting loud of a warning like a trumpet, exceeding loud. So all the people that were in the camp trembled. Whoa. And this voice of the trumpet, I don't know what kind of, must have been like, who knows what it was. We only know the words. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Whew. Could you imagine going to meet God on Mount Sinai? Wow. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. I'd be at the really far away. And Mount Sinai looked like it was all together on a smoke. Probably looked like it was like float, you know, this, wow. Because Jehovah descended upon it, how? In fire. That's how God comes. He doesn't come with this little timid thing. He comes as fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. That must have been a terrible norah, a real terrible sight. The word Hebrew, norah, means like, you know, fearfully frightening, just beyond, you know, just almost to take you away. And when the voice of the trumpets sounded long and waxed louder and louder, I don't know how Moses spoke, I'd be so scared. And God answered him by a voice. Wow. We can't even imagine that the eternal God talking to us little pieces of dust down here. Could you imagine that? God answered him by a voice. And Jehovah came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And Jehovah called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses, I bet he went up. He must have been so scared. This is the trumpet, you know. And that third day is so important because it reflects all the way back. Well, at this point, it reflects in the future at the time of Yeshua. The third day is very important, you know. Yeshua rose the third day. Remember that? So we're thinking about this trumpet that's going to... The Lord came down. He came, which a lot of people don't recognize. And Jehovah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people. Because, you know, I bet you the people were so frightened. They were like, probably like, who knows what they were doing. Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Jehovah, plurality, to gaze, and many of them perish. Just tell them to stay in where they're supposed to be. And let the priests also, which come near to Jehovah, sanctify themselves, lest Jehovah break forth upon them. Whoa. That's a frightening thought. Yeah, it is really a frightening thought. The one who created the whole universe will break forth upon you if you don't do what he says. And Moses said unto Jehovah, this part's always amazing to me. It says, the people cannot come to the Mount Sinai, for you charged us, saying, set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. God knows exactly what he said. Jehovah said unto him, away! Get you down, and thou shalt come up, and you are supposed to come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priests, the people, break through to come up unto Yehovah, lest he, plurality of God, break forth upon them. You don't have to tell Jehovah what he said. I guess Moses was like, you know, trying to, this is what you said, right? Right? He knows what he said. Away! And Moses went down unto the people and spoke to them. He probably, I can just imagine these 2 feet, like just, he probably ran down this mountain. I mean, think how scary this really is. It's frightening. I mean, we're only reading these simple little words here, which probably don't even describe really what took place. I mean, you got like sort of a million people there, and they're all around the Mount Sinai, and it's all together on the smoke, and they're all way back. They can't come near it or touch the border of it. They're like way back. And some people, you know, are trying to get a little closer. That's why Yehovah said, get away, get them away. And then all of a sudden the word of God comes down in a form, comes down upon Mount Sinai. And God talks with a voice. That's amazing to me. Anyway, that's a memorial that of a trumpet that we're thinking about somewhere in the future. When we hear the trumpet, God's going to come back, which is going to be equally frightening because it says all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn. I don't know if you could imagine just everybody in Nashville mourning that didn't accept the Lord, or everybody in Alabama, you hear just this wailing. But imagine all the tribes of the earth mourning at once. It's going to be a horrible sound. And here we have Yehoshua, known as Joshua. He's also called Yeshua in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. There it is right there. It says, and Joshua 6 is a picture of a shadow of the end time. So I like to read about this trumpet here too, because this is another picture or a shadow of things to come. And Joshua, which is like Yeshua, there it is right there, his name. Let's see something. I thought I had it in the Hebrew too, but oh, there it is right there. There's Yeshua, right? Yeshua. That's what they call Joshua, the son of Nun. Ben Nun. Not nun. It's nun. Ooh. It's a shuruk. Noon. Anyway, Joshua 6, a shadow of the end time. Let's read this, chapter 6. And I always believe that, you know, this 6 days of creation, right? The seventh day is the Sabbath, right? Now Joshua, Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And Yehovah said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. What a mighty men of valor to God. And ye shall compass the city, and all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So for 6 days, they're going to go around the city once. Which all the people are probably wondering, what are these guys doing, right? And seven priests shall bear the ark with seven trumpets of ram's horns, like that one that you blew, the ram's horn. And the 7th day, ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. That's pretty amazing. So we have the 7th month that we're doing this in. And we got the 7 trumpets and the 7 priests. 7 everything. No, I'm just saying we have the 7th month. And it came to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Just like Thessalonians, which we'll read later. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before Yehovah, the ark of Yehovah. And he said unto the people, pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of Yehovah. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before Yehovah, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of Yehovah followed them. So they did this for 6 days. It almost reminds me of, you know, you got like the 6,000 years and this opportunity for people to repent and get on the get with God, and you know, join God, just like the history of mankind that we believe the 6,000 years, and then the seventh is it's over. But anyway, same thing with Joshua. There was some people that joined. We know about that, right? And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark. I can't say that word. Rearward. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. Could you imagine doing this for 6 days? Nor make any noise with your voice. Neither let any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. So 6 days they couldn't say nothing. Pretty good. These are armed men and the priests, right? They couldn't say a word. So the ark of Yehovah compassed the city, going about it once, and then came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of Yehovah, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of Yehovah went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of Yehovah, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did it for 6 days. So you got these guys, blowing armed guys coming with all their weapons, and then you got the guys blowing the trumpets, and they did this for 6 days. encompass the city. Can't even imagine what that must have looked like. And that's a lot of people doing that. Then they go back into the camp. And it came to pass on the seventh day, because it's over now, that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city about the same manner. This time they went seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. I wonder how big that city Jericho was to go around it seven times. That's a lot of walking, too. You couldn't say, well, I don't want to get up, or I'm too tired, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, or it's too this, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, it's too long, it's too short. You know, all these excuses. You just got to get up and move and don't talk. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for Jehovah had given you the city. And the city shall be accursed. Jericho was accursed. Even it and all that are therein, they're accursed to Jehovah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Isn't that amazing? It's always the people that you least expect that will follow God. Some lady that you're of ill repute, you know. Instead of like, you know, somebody that looked like they would have joined. No, it was the one that you would least expect. A harlot. Repented. Saved her whole house, and they all repented. It says, you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. So God does like these things, and he wants it all. Not that he needs it. He wants to make sure you don't take any. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city. That just reminds me of the end. The Lord's going to descend and, you know, we're going to go up into the city of New Jerusalem. Every man straight before him, and they took the city. It says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Yeah, the sinners lost. Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as you swear unto her. So God keeps his covenants. And the people of God need to keep our covenants too. And God will honor us. And the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. They brought out all her kindred, and they left them without the camp of Israel. And this is going to happen in the end, too. God's going to burn this place to a crisp. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass. And we better be a vessel unto honor. Vessels of brass and of iron, they put them in the treasury of the house of Jehovah. Just like we all better be vessels of righteousness and vessels of truth. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel unto this day. She became part of the Israel of God. Isn't that amazing? Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So these are more trumpets that we want to take note of when God, you know, brings his victory one day. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before Jehovah that raised it up and builded this city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So Jehovah was with Joshua. That's all you want to make sure, that God is with you. Jehovah was with Joshua. and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So that we got to remember the trumpet's going to sound one day, and the Lord Yeshua himself again shall descend from heaven, and we shall rise and be changed. Amen. One day. And if not in our lifetime, in someone's lifetime, it might be in his lifetime. It's got to be in his lifetime. If it's not, then we're really wrong. So Saul tells the Corinthians, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Here's a mystery, everyone. We're not all going to sleep, be dead. But we shall be changed no matter where you are. And it's going to happen in a moment. Can't even do it fast enough. In a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. When the seventh angel is going to sound. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then whoever is alive, we're going to be changed." It says, "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So we'll be immortal. Whew. Could you imagine that? Don't laugh. You're going to be immortal too. Huh? "And when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality," definitely it's going to be brought to pass, saying, death is swallowed up in victory. It really is, because there's no more death once you're immortal. You can't die. And then you could say, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" You can mock death. "Oh, grave, where's your victory? You can't hold me." The sting of death is sin. You probably get a big sting if you die with sin. And the strength of sin is the Torah. That shows you what sin is, the Torah. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Wherefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Steadfast and unmovable. "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Yehovah." Think of everything else we do in our life is for our belly or to put a roof over our head. But only what you do for God is going to last. You know, God's not going to say, "Oh, how many PhDs did you get? Or how many inventions did you create?" He's going to say, "What did you do for me in that little lifespan I lent you? You just didn't know how long it was." That's why it's really good to go try to get the sheep, if you can. Saul tells the Thessalonians, they thought the Lord was coming back in their lifetime, but he didn't. 1 Thessalonians, the letter, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren and sisters, concerning them which are asleep." The ones that are dead. People that died in the Lord. "Don't sorrow, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Don't worry, these guys have hope, okay? If you believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which are dead, sleep in Yeshua, will God bring with him. "For this we say unto you by the word of Yehovah, that we which are alive," whoever's alive at that time when the trumpet sounds and remains at the coming of the Lord, "shall not prevent or go before." That's that word "prevent" means go before in the old English. We're not going to go before them that are dead, that are asleep. Do you understand that?
Yes.
"For the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven, just like he descended on Mount Sinai with a trumpet, and with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Same terminology, same wordage right there. "And the dead in Messiah shall rise first." So if you could picture it, the dead in Messiah are going to rise first, because they have to rise first. And as they're rising, who was ever alive at that time and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Think about that. The ones that are dead and who's ever alive at that point, they're going to come up and we're going to be right here and we're going to come up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. So shall you ever be with the Lord. Whew. That's definitely a mystery, because some people don't even know where their little dust is. They might have died 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. Who knows where their dust is? God knows. Good thing God knows where every little piece of dust of you is. And that's going to be transformed into an immortal body, and the spirit that went back to God is going to be go right into this immortal body, and it's going to be something we can't even imagine. That's quite amazing to think about. But Apostle Paul, Saul, he knows, he's saying this, he's a Jewish guy, a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So don't think that, doesn't matter if you're dead or you die, because in the end, we're all going to rise together. They're not going to go before us. They're not going to prevent. You know, the word prevent, a lot of people get mixed up on that word there because it's Old English. The Lord himself shall, it says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which sleep, the ones that are dead, because we're alive. The dead are going to rise first, and then we're going to be caught up together. The ones that are alive, just think, you're going to be changed in an instant into an incorruptible body. Whatever that means. Just like Yeshua. Then the Gospel of Matthew tells us immediately after the tribulation of those days. So there's going to be a great tribulation one day, such as was not since the beginning of the world or to this time. There's going to be a great tribulation. The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Believe me, he's not in the secret chambers or in Jerusalem. Then shall appear, imagine being on the earth and then you look up in heaven, there's going to appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And if you didn't know God and didn't accept his commandments and his covenant, then all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn, because it's too late. They're not atoned. They didn't hear the sound of the trumpet and they're not atoned. And they shall see. They're going to actually visually see the Son, and he's called the Son of Man. Isn't that amazing? Coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Whew. Can't even imagine that. But all we have to do is believe it. So one day, you know, there'll be a... One day there will be a third temple and there will be an anti-Messiah. And as they keep grooming their anti-Messiah, one will be the big anti-Messiah, Antichrist. And then everything, all the tribulations will happen. And the day of the Lord's not coming yet. We'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing. Unless the Lord takes us tonight or today. But just to think it will be over one day, and you won't be thinking about all the people that you used to know and be sad throughout eternity, because you're not even going to be thinking of that. You'll have eternity. Who knows what we're going to do? I mean, can't even imagine what's going to happen. Immortal. It says right here, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. He's going to send, the Messiah is going to send his angels with what? Sound of a trumpet. This is why there's so many symbols of the trumpet in the Bible. Sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But remember, that's why we always have to go back to the past to know the end. If you want to know the end, you have to go back to the beginning. Always focus on the days of Noah. The earth was corrupt. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Sometimes you wonder, how much more corrupt can it get? Well, it's going to get a lot more corrupt when the anti-Messiah comes and demands people to fall down and worship him, and people do it, and take his mark, and do exactly what he says. But as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days that were before the flood, things looked like it just continued on. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Just think of that. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just think, that is provable nowadays with scientific studies and archaeology, and they could prove there was a deluge that covered the whole world. So this is provable that this happened. And they took all the... Who went first? The wicked, huh? Yeah. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. You don't know that. We don't know that. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up, right? If you knew that your house was going to get robbed at 2:30 on Friday, you'd be right there to stop them, right? Or to prevent them. Same thing. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Just think, an hour when you think not, the Son of Man might just come. So in closing today, there's so many trumpets in the Bible. Maybe I didn't talk about all of them, but we go from Torah to the Joshua to a lot of the Gospels to some of the letters. They all talk about this trumpet that's going to sound. So in closing, remember, here are the holy days and the feasts that are left to observe. Today, of course, we're doing the memorial of blowing the trumpets, and it's a memorial to think about the trumpet from the past, and maybe the trumpet one day in our lifetime, or maybe one day the trumpet in the future, the end. And then we have, of course, the Day of Atonement. You better be atoned after you hear the trumpet, so you can tabernacle with the Lord, October 6th, Ha'etanim 15 to 21, the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, of course, we'll just celebrate it all on the eighth day, at the last great day, the solemn assembly, like in the Gospel of John, right? So may Yah bless you today, and Shabbat Shalom. Hope you got something out of this study. That trumpet's going to blast. It's going to blast. It's going to be so loud, it's going to wake the dead. Everyone's going to rise. Some people today, nowadays, because of different Bible versions and because of many flavors of messianics out there, they don't believe any longer in heaven or hell. I wonder if they believe in an afterlife, or where are they going to go? Or maybe there isn't. They think they don't even know if there is one. Well, according to the book of Daniel, everyone that sleeps in the dust are going to rise, right? Everyone. Everyone's going to have eternal life. Just that the other people that get eternal life, it's going to be a horrible thing. Just think, they won't be able to die. And they'll be punished throughout eternity, whatever that means. We can't even imagine that. You can't even imagine somebody going like this to you forever. Forever. No. That's nothing compared to an everlasting punishment. One day, it'll be all over, and you wish that your relatives can join you, and your friends, and your, who knows, your family, and you wish everyone could make it, but that's not the way it's going to be. Anyway, God bless you, and try to bring as many people as you can with you on this journey, and to hold up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Yeshua. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another day to remember the sound of this trumpet, Lord and God, that one day it's going to sound so loud. And You've permissioned us to preach the truth, the gospel, that one day there's going to be a fire that's going to burn everything to a crisp, and people better repent of their sins and join the Israel of God. Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this Sabbath, this memorial blowing the trumpets, and bless everyone here, bless the food, the singing, anything we do. Let it be to the glory of the living God, and knowing we're going to meet the everlasting God one day, the first and the last, which is going to be totally amazing. And we'd love to hear your voice, Father. Heavenly Father, we got your word, which is your word, and we thank you for that. And may God bless everyone and heal everyone and strengthen everyone in Yeshua's name and encourage everyone. And may God give us the words to speak to everyone and the reason of the hope that's within us. May us convey these words. All I can say is how beautiful are the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring the word of God throughout the world. And may God choose you and help you and lead, guide, and direct you and protect you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and God bless you. And I'll stop the video. Let me say goodbye to everyone. Shabbat Shalom. One more time. One more time. That's over. And we'll stop the...